Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. This morning I am having tea via this technology with Beth Taylor, a dear friend who lives in Dallas, and her wine cellar is actually, we call that our Dallas headquarters. Beth, thank you so much for being on the show, and today we're going to be talking about the elements in Scripture, and you have developed this as an area of specialization, and so how did you get interested in the path, and how has knowing your elements affected you personally?
Oh, Lord, Beth, you know, I tend to, you know, move through things slowly and realize the value over time. And so I first got involved with the path maybe a decade ago when I read the book and worked through it with a small group. And that just started a new period of growth for me. And then I've become involved with the overall path community in the last 3 years just because I signed up to be trained in the four elements of success here in Dallas. And it has completely opened my eyes to understanding who I am, who God created me to be, and helping me to step into living that, Beth, instead of where I thought I was supposed to be to please everybody around me.
So tell us your element, your elemental blend.
My elemental blend, I am tied at water and fire, and then I have moderating earth and very different wind.
That is terrific. And so do you call yourself a water fire or a fire water, or is it situation?
You know, it's almost seasonal. It ebbs and flows. And you know, of course, you know they tend to be in conflict with one another. But there are times when I am essentially water, and other times when I am all fire, and then there are times when I'm both. So you never know what's going to come out.
Well, you know, it's just such a fascinating combination, and as I have said in the book, and as you and I have discussed many times over this project, that water fires can, whenever you have a blend that's an opposite, you're going to put yourself out, so the water will feel compassionate about something, and the fire says, forget the people, let's go get results, or vice versa. And as we've developed this project, we have had a lot of fun with Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I believe, and I think you agree, that he was a water fire. And just quickly, the reason we're going to talk about Moses and perhaps some other characters as well, but the thing about Moses, the water-fire combination, which you see in many leaders, I think Gandhi was a water fire. I also think Martin Luther King was a water fire. And with Moses, you see the water in him. You see the fire because he, you know, attacks and kills someone out of a sense of rage over an injustice, and yet his name actually means drawn from the water, and he was saved by floating down a stream. And there's all these beautiful allegorical, metaphorical parallels as you look at Moses. So, and then he was also a reluctant leader. He stuttered and didn't think he could do it and wanted someone with him, which is very water-like, but then he definitely rose to the occasion as a fire will. So, tell us what you love about Moses, Beth.
Well, and, you know, all of those things. You know, I really see Moses as the perfect choice for leading the nation through really an infancy into an adolescence and then into adulthood through those years in the wilderness. And as a leader, he trained them and taught them and poured out of his relationship with God into them in building their relationship with God. And to me, that is just a picture of water and the flow through his leadership. I also identify with him as in that parent picture of this nation, because there were times when Moses felt so torn by these people who would not get it and who continued to complain and to want, you know, to want to be taken care of, and they wouldn't grow up, and and he acted in frustration several times and lost his temper, and so, you know, I identify with that flair as well.
Well, and I love just thinking about Moses, that it said that he was a friend to God and often drew apart just to be with him. And when he came down from the mountain, he was covered with the Shekinah glory, and his face reflected the power of God. And that's very water-like. Moses really didn't have an agenda in his time with God. He just wanted to be with him, which is why maybe he was the perfect choice, as you say. What are some other elemental things we see Moses doing that might be familiar to us?
Well, of course, we also see Moses trying to solve all the problems of the people. And after they moved into the wilderness, they would come before him and bring their conflicts and their issues to him, and he would sit all day long and listen and be the mediator, which is such a water tendency. And then finally his father-in-law, Jethro, came to him and said, "You cannot go on like this. It's craziness."
What do you think Jethro was?
I think Jethro was probably an earth. He saw a process. He told Moses, "Here's how you handle it. Appoint X number of people to be over certain number of people and divide it out, create a process so that only the huge issues are placed before you."
That is so beautiful. Another water-like thing about Moses that I really love is that, and I learned this as I was studying the scripture for Elemental Blends, that, you know, he took Joshua with him everywhere. So he was mentoring even as he was leading. He not only took Aaron with him to support him, but he also was growing the next generation of leader and leadership. And I love that about him. You know, he just took him everywhere. And go ahead.
No, so I was going to agree that he really was dedicated to passing on all that God gave him. He wanted so to pass it on to the people. And he stands before the people at the end of his life and reiterates every lesson and begs them to choose to remember God in this land of plenty they were going to enter. And it wasn't remember God because God wants you to. It was remember God because this is what is best for you. And he's speaking from his heart like any parent would, of wanting to pass on to these children all that he knew was good for them in this world.
Right. So speaking elementally, personally, being a water fire, how do you handle which element to move or act out of, move into and act out of? Because I was coaching a woman last week, and she's a water fire, and she constantly puts herself out.
Which I do too. And one thing that I have discovered is that as a water, I tend to think that if I speak boldly or directly to people, that I may be hurting their feelings. And what I've discovered is I need to trust my water, that my water will temper my fire, and that I don't need to decide to hold back, because I won't burn the way someone who was a more intense fire without the water might.
Oh, that's great. Now, you brought up a great contrast earlier in the show of Mary and Martha. Talk to us about that elementally.
You know, I think that Martha gets a bum rap. Because, you know, we have all of this, because Jesus does say that, you know, Mary's sitting at his feet, soaking in his words, and she's very much a water personality, and we see in the death of Lazarus that the Jews, the people of the town, have come to see her. She's the one with the relationships. And that is all wonderful. But when Martha is upset because Mary's not helping her, and it's such a familiar story, especially to women, And what Jesus says is, Mary has chosen the better part. He does not say, Martha, you should be sitting in here.
Ah.
You know, and so what I see as I'm reading, as I'm beginning to unfold this through the elemental point of view, is that for Martha to go about serving as a fire earth, seeing what needs to be done, putting it into action, gathering her forces, creating an atmosphere of hospitality and warmth and food and comfort for her guests, is part of her elemental makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But she was trying to get Mary to be like her, and Jesus said, no, Mary's like Mary. And we also see that in a very huge contrast when Lazarus dies, Jesus comes, Martha marches out and confronts him and says, if you'd been here, Lazarus would not have died. And I can see her standing with her legs apart, with her arms folded, telling him this.
Right.
Well, and Jesus' response is to build her faith. He raises the bar in her understanding. Then Mary comes out and says the exact words, but she's on the ground weeping.
Mm.
And he meets her where she is.
I love that. I love that. And I think it's important, too, because culturally, women have been expected to all be waters, right?
Yes, yes.
Men are supposed to be the fires, and yet we see that it is really, as we look through the elements, it is not gender-based. It's really God creation-based. And so let's look at a fire woman, Deborah.
Ah, yes.
Who was a judge, and tell us what the fire you see in her.
Well, you know, Deborah had tremendous vision for her people. She saw what needed to be done. She saw not only that it was necessary for her to take action, but the consequences of her action. She weighed it. She went forth. We see her just at a pivotal, important moment, crisis moment, and she's there. She does the job she's called to do, and we know nothing else about life. You know?
And also, when you read the Song of Deborah, and I've included her greatly in my book, my upcoming book, Jesus Career Counselor, because when you read the Song of Deborah, it says she noticed that the caravans were no longer taking the most direct route. They were going around the infidels. And so the fire in her thought this was not, you know, not wise. And then she goes to the tribe of Dan. She tries to rouse everybody to battle. And she says, in the tribe of Dan, there was much searching of heart. In the tribe of Dan, there was much searching of heart, but they never acted. And so she says it almost in, like, disgust and sarcasm. And I feel that way sometimes, too, as a fire wind, when people say, we're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord. Meanwhile, you know, the kid's getting run over by a train because they were praying to see whether or not they should take action. And so that fire in her, I just love it. And I think that what I hope that people get out of our work together and this whole concept of the elements is to begin to see the point of view of the author or the narrator of the story often colors the way the characters are viewed.
Mm-hmm.
So, Beth, we have a whole webinar on this that people can access. And tell us quickly how people can access you directly.
Well, people can email me at beth@bethtaylorcoaching.com.
And we're looking forward to having the elements in Scripture as a multi-formatted Bible study teaching curriculum. And isn't it fascinating and fun, Beth, as we learn the elemental blend created us to be. So thank you so much for the show. And I feel frustrated ending it after 15 minutes because you have so much to teach us. And I hope people will avail of your lessons and our lessons together as time goes forward. May you all be blessed, Beth. Give Paul a hug, and I'll see you in January.
All right. Thanks, Lori Beth. Bye-bye.
All right. See you. Bye-bye.